I call this meeting and Senate of the Associated Students to order on Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016 at 5:07 in the Regal Island Senate Chambers. Moving to agenda item 2, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving to agenda item 3, roll call.
Speaker Texera?
Present.
Senator Berrigan?
Present.
Senator Blair?
Absence excused.
Senator Bond?
Present.
Senator Bradley?
Present.
Senator Charles?
Present.
Senator Crooks?
Present.
Senator Coopy?
Present.
Senator Duvall?
Present.
Senator Eschenbaugh?
Absence excused.
Senator Fang?
Absence excused.
Senator Green?
Present.
Senator Henderson?
Absence excused.
Senator H. Jackson?
Present.
Senator T. Jackson?
Present.
Senator Jacoby?
Absence excused.
Senator Jordan?
Present.
Senator Kohler?
Absence excused.
Senator Macabaluk?
Present.
Senator Leva?
Present.
Senator Smith?
Absence excused.
Senator Urquidy?
Present.
Quorum is present.
Awesome. Okay, moving to agenda item 5, public comment. Tonight we have Alex Biden and the SOS Washoe team presenting to us. What is your thoughts?
All right, thank you. Well, thanks for having me tonight, Speaker Texera and senators that are present. I'm excited to have the opportunity to talk about Save Our Schools and WC1 specifically. So WC1 is a ballot question that's going to be on the November ballot for Washoe County voters. So that's a WC1 designation, WC standing for Washoe County. Really the only county question that we have on the ballot in November. We will be voting on, obviously, President, United States Senate, local races, and then state questions. So you've got question 1, question 2, presumably questions 3 and 4, and then you'll go down to county questions and you'll find WC1. So I always kick off these presentations with reminding people that if you in fact support this issue, remember to stay there and maintain your endurance when you go to vote at the ballot box, because this is the last question. So I'm going to kick it off with a presentation about what the issue is and what we can do about it. So here's kind of a quick agenda. We'll talk about the need, why are we in this situation, what the solution is, what this initiative is not, and how you can help. So to address the need in Washoe County, the average age of our public schools are 40 years old. 1 in 5 schools are severely overcrowded. 1 in 3 have dangerous conditions. So there are unfunded safety requests that cannot be fulfilled because of lack of capital funds. So you know in ASUN, you have your capital budget, your operating budget, right? The operating budget is the annual budget that pays for your programs, salaries, stipends, etc. That's what you use to operate the association. Well, so does Washoe County School District, but they also have a capital account. And so we're specifically talking tonight about the capital needs of Washoe County schools, which is infrastructure. So you're talking about schools that have asbestos in them. You're talking about schools that have infrastructure that are not able to respond to safety concerns, right? So let's say there's an active shooter, God forbid, at one of our campuses here in Washoe County. Since the Columbine shooting, schools across the country have switched their lock system to change where the teachers lock the door from outside to inside the classroom. Makes a lot of sense, right? If you're responding to an active shooter, you don't want to have to open the door to expose the classroom to the suspect or the teacher either. A lot of Washoe County schools haven't been able to switch their lock systems to these Columbine locks to ensure the safety of their students. So we're talking really about basic needs that can ensure kids are learning in healthy environments and safety. And safe classrooms. 1 in 3 schools have not been renovated in over a generation, and right now we have 220 plus trailer classrooms sitting in high schools in Washoe County. And many of those are more than 30 years old. I was just at McQueen last week looking at some of them. I mean, you've got shingles falling off the side, you've got staircases that have divots in them, and you have a Santa hut in the parking lot of McQueen High School, and that's where kids are expected. Now, in order for us to meet the need of our schools over the next 10 years, we would need 600 additional portable classrooms to alleviate the overcrowding that we have now and to respond to the growth that we have coming from new companies like Tesla and other companies that are relocating here. So the need. While this is a growth issue in the future, this is a need that we have now. On average, elementary schools in Washoe County are operating at 107% capacity. Middle schools are nearing capacity, and high schools are close to 110% capacity. Now, Washoe County schools are overcrowded before the growth that we'll experience over the next 5 years. And so a lot of times I'll hear from people, well, you know, why should I support this? We have all these new people moving in here. They're going to cause the problem. Shouldn't they have to pay for it? Shouldn't Tesla have to pay for all these new schools? Well, really, we have been negligent in funding our capital needs for so many years that there's a backlog that we have to address, and that's what WC1 aims to fix. So we'll talk a little bit about the funding gap. So if you look at this graph here, you've got an idea of what the need is for maintenance and renovations, for new schools between certain time frames and grade level, and then, of course, you have to account for a natural 7% inflation that will occur through the year that these schools will need to be built. And so the Gwynn Center, which is a nonpartisan think tank that's based in Las Vegas, was hired by the Sage Commission to study the unfunded capital needs of counties across Nevada. And they estimated that in Washoe County, we have an unfunded capital need of $1.2 billion. Now, last legislative session, the legislature passed SB 207. That bill was a bond rollover, so essentially it authorized the county to extend the authority that they had to issue bonds from revenue generated from property taxes. Now stay with me. That, over the next 10 years, will generate somewhere around $300, $350 million. So if you take $1.1, $1.2 billion, and you subtract $350, you still have an unfunded need of about $781 million. So a community committee was formed of 15 people that represented different industries. They were experts in their industries. PTA, Washoe Education Association, construction experts, finance experts, realtors. And they were tasked with choosing between five taxes. Now, we know people don't like taxes, but we also have a need in Washoe County that's been unmet for a number of years. So ultimately, they landed on a 0.54% increase in the county sales tax. But before I go into that, let's talk about why we're here. A lot of people get angry. They're like, well, why have we neglected this for so long? Why haven't our elected officials been responsible and funded the capital needs of our schools? Well, really because the only way to generate revenue is through tax increases. And let's be honest with one another. People that need to be reelected don't want to impose tax increases on voters. So what do? They punt it to the ballot box. And that's why we're here in 2016. So we have a failure to adequately fund infrastructure. Clark County gets 42% more revenue from property tax per $100 than we do in Washington. They also have real estate transfer tax and lodging. So the next slide that I'm about to show shows you the different capital funding streams that we have in Nevada for school districts. Now things have failed too. This issue has been at the ballot box. It was at the ballot box in 2008 and it failed, right? We have to consider that year. The economy tanked and voters were wary of reaching deeper into their pockets to fund the capital needs of schools. So kind of expected that an initiative that would increase taxes would fail in a year when we were hit with one of the greatest economic recessions since the Depression. 2013, there was an assembly bill that in the prior session authorized the Washoe County Commission to generate revenue by an increase in property tax for capital needs. Washoe County Commission punted the issue. So here we are in 2016, and we the people have the opportunity to adequately fund our schools' capital needs. Now, the next thing that's interesting is we have a broken property tax system in the state. We are the only state in the nation to depreciate real property. We have a 3% cap limit on the annual growth rate that property tax can grow. And the singular major funding source for the capital needs of Washoe County schools is property tax. And so if you consider what's happened to property values since 2008, they've significantly declined. So has the revenue generated from those houses, right? Now in 2005, when the housing market was doing great, the legislature placed this cap-in statute that allowed that property tax rate to grow only 3% per year. So in order for us to get back to where we were in generating property tax revenue, it's going to take a long long time. So we need to talk about diversifying our funding streams to create a long-term sustainable solution to adequately fund our schools. So here's the slide that I was talking about. This gives you an idea of the different funding sources that counties in the state of Nevada have. And you'll notice one thing about Washoe County. We are the only county in the state of Nevada that only has two funding sources for the capital needs of our schools. Every other county has at least one more funding source, if not two more, including the 14 rural counties. Clark County has a county infrastructure sales tax, Carson City has a county infrastructure sales tax, Clark County has a real estate transfer tax and transient lodging tax, and the 14 rural counties have a residential construction and county infrastructure sales tax. So you notice this WC1 is also about putting Washoe County on equal footing with the rest of the state. Now, Nevada is one of 12 states in the country that does not receive state funding for the capital needs of local school districts. So it's up to us, as Washoe County residents, to fix this problem. It is a local solution to a local problem. I'm going to skip that. So looking forward, the problem is only going to get worse if we don't act now. This matter is really urgent. We know that if this fails, schools are going to go to double sessions. Now, double sessions mean that one school serves two student populations. So you're talking about kids at bus stops at 4:30 a.m. to get to school to start their first class by 5:55 a.m. They're going to get out of school around 11:55 or noon. The next batch of students goes from noon to 5:55, has to take the bus home, might not get home until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Now, all of you in this room, I'm sure, were involved in high school in some way, whether it be leadership, athletics, music, AP classes. Now, think about for a moment, how would those programs continue if high schools weren't double sessions? They wouldn't. So that learning that happens outside of the classroom is going to cease to exist. And really, you're talking about a community divide. You don't have that school cohesion and pride that you would have with all students going to school at the same time. And this is an inevitable situation. The Board of Trustees voted a number of weeks ago that once schools reach 120% capacity, they automatically move to double sessions. The first five schools that will go on double sessions are McQueen High School, North Valleys High School, Spanish Springs, Wooster, and I don't know the fifth one off the top of my head. So we have unprecedented growth on the horizon. We have 52,000 new jobs within the next 5 years. This is exciting, right? As college students, you should be excited that Reno's diversifying its economy, is having high-skilled labor coming here, higher-paying jobs. Those are opportunities for you when you graduate college. But that's going to have a greater impact on the capital needs of our schools. In 2015 and 2016, we've added 560. Now, I'm going to skip that particular bullet point and end with, on this particular slide, that Washoe County is not authorized in statute to charge impact fees. And everybody says, okay, the developers are building all these houses, and the houses are going to cause an impact on these schools, so why don't we charge the developers to build the schools? Well, in theory, it sounds like a good idea, but the problem is that would not generate sufficient revenue to build even one elementary school for the houses that would serve that elementary school, not to mention the impact it would have on middle schools and high schools. And it's a one-time fee. It is not a sustainable, recurring revenue stream that we can rely on to address the capital needs of our schools. So this committee I talked about considered these taxes and ultimately landed on the sales tax. The sales tax is a shared responsibility. 30% of it is paid by tourists, so visitors are helping to pay to build our schools. Great. Businesses pay it. Residents pay it. And it's a half-cent increase. So for a family of four making a median income in Washoe County, it's going to break down to less than a quarter a day on the impact of their pocketbooks. And a huge return on investment. Because if you think about what double sessions are going to do to these families, think about when you were in high school, if you had younger siblings. If you're in school from 1 to 7 p.m., who's going to watch the younger sibling in second, third, fourth, fifth grade? Childcare is a lot more expensive than a marginal increase in the county sales tax. So we talked about this just now. Ahead of myself. So here's the actual language of the questions. People are like, wow, this sounds great. Now tell me, what is it actually going to say when I vote on it in November? So it says, shall the Board of County Commissioners of Washoe County be authorized to impose a sales and use tax of 0.54% in the county to, and I emphasize, fund only capital projects? So this isn't about whether or not you think that there's a correlation between funding of per pupil expenditures and student achievement
or if you think that there's a tie between investing in education and educational outcomes. This is about building schools, and you can't build them without money, and you can't fix them without money. And we're talking about students at Brown Elementary School. Their school's the most overcrowded in the district. They have a tarp in a hallway where they've put desks. That is their computer lab. Double Diamond is so overcrowded, they have four cubicles in the hall. The special education students and the students who have English as a second language are learning in those cubicles. We are literally teaching kids in third world conditions in a developed country. And we really have to get serious about what we prioritize and whether or not we value education, and really whether we value the safety and health of our kids. So this is a projected plan of what's going to happen with the generation of the revenue. You'll build 3 new high schools, 3 new middle schools, 9 new elementary schools. You will have a $50 million investment in the oldest and core schools to catch up on backlog repairs. You will have an extension on DeMonte Ranch. That was the 5th high school that's going to go to double session, by the way, et cetera, et cetera. Now, a lot of people say, great, how can we be sure that this money is going to be spent the way that you tell me it's going to be spent? How do I know it's not going to go to some general fund and the school board's going to get greedy and they're going to take the money and pay the superintendent more and hire more vice principals for all these schools? How can I trust that this money's really going to go to build schools and make repairs? Well, the school board listened, and they established what's called the Capital Funding Protection Committee. And that group is a panel of volunteers that have expertise in various areas that will oversee how each and every cent is spent. So we're talking about building new schools, but we're also talking about renewing accountability to the system so voters feel comfortable that when they vote yes on WC1 to fund our schools, that the money's going to go where we tell them it's going to go. Next question I get asked, well, why doesn't this sunset? Why, after you generate the revenue you need over the next 10 years, why don't you bring the tax rate back to what it was once you address the need? Well, I have a lot of answers to that question, as you see from this slide. I'm only going to go through one of them because I think it's the most important. We got in this mess because property taxes fluctuate at such a massive rate, and because we depreciate them because they have a cap. We need to be more forward-thinking. We have to invest in the next generation, provide a long-term sustainable funding stream for our schools, and diversify the funds, right? So if you're investing in the stock market, you don't want to put $1 million in one stock. You want to diversify your portfolio. Well, we haven't done that with the capital needs of our schools. We've invested it all in property taxes, and look where it's gotten us. So if we sunset the tax, it's going to provide a solution to the need we have now, but it's not thinking about the future. And I know all of you, when you sit in your seats as senators at this university, every day, the decisions that you make, you think about the next generation of students and how they can have a positive and better experience than you had at the university. So we already went through that, what it is and what it is not. Obviously, if we continue to grow as a region, there are economic development considerations. Companies are not going to move here if our schools aren't double sessions. And if we don't pass this in November, the economic development ship will have sailed. People are looking at Washington right now as a really serious option to move big corporations and to have more jobs for the people that live here. But what mom is going to put their kids in schools for their son or daughter's not getting home until 7? So we have to think about the implications that have on economic development and the opportunities that you, right, you guys have to think about how does this benefit university students, your senators, you represent them. This is about opportunities when they graduate, but also about reducing the amount of students that come to this school that are in need of remediation, right? It's about making sure that people are college ready, and that doesn't happen when they learn in tarps and hallways. So we already talked about what the NOVO looks like. It looks like double sessions, unsafe and unhealthy conditions, adversely affecting future prosperity, has implications on the attraction and retention of talent. This is what the NOVO option looks like. We have a growing list of community supporters that have endorsed this, the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, the Chamber, and we're talking about groups, right, like the Chamber, that is a conservative business organization that does not tend to support tax increases. But they understand the need that we have, and they're stepping up to the plate and saying, yes, we support this. We need to pass WC1 and invest in our schools and our children. So I'm going to end with this. Our schools and our kids need your help, and we need you to get involved in a really big way. You can visit us at soswashoe.com. You can pledge to vote yes on WC1. We have a digital commit to vote card. You can share on your social channels to let your friends and family know that you're supporting this issue. You can donate. That's more for our business groups. You guys are college students, so we're not going to ask you to reach into your pocket. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stake up a yard sign. Sign up to volunteer. We need to reach tens of thousands of voters before November on this issue. And that requires people knocking on doors and calling voters to say, hey, we got to step up to the plate and vote yes on WC1. And I really hope I can count on your guys' support. And so I know that Senator Jackson has authored a resolution on this issue that you'll be considering later tonight. And I would really urge you and ask you to support WC1 for the future of our kids, our schools, our community, our economy, and for this university. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer questions if there's time.
Yeah, do you guys have any questions for Mr. Bybee? Senator Jordan?
I have a question. Sorry, I don't know how I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah, go for it.
So can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So if we build new schools, that will allow us to alleviate the overcrowding that's happening at the schools we have now. So yes, the district would definitely have to look at re-zoning some of those schools to help alleviate some of the schools that are literally bursting at the seams. So there would be some rezoning involved, yes.
Okay, that was just the only question I had. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Senator Jordan.
With the committee for oversight of the Wi-Fi committee, do they have any authority, say, if they start spending from their finances, do they have any authority to step in and do something?
Yeah, so what happens is the Washoe County School District staff, the facilities experts, they identify the needs, and those go straight to the Capital Funding Protection Committee. They vet those recommendations and requests, and then that goes to the Board of Trustees. Now, there has to be some sort of consensus established, and if there's not, the Board of Trustees has to call a public meeting and list why they disagree with the decisions made by the Capital Funding Protection Committee. So there's a public vetting process. You know, the media has been paying particular attention to the school district and school board, so you'd imagine it would be covered extensively in the paper. And really, having that consensus mechanism built in is huge. And then there are a whole other host of entities that it has to go through before it's approved. It has to go through the Oversight Panel for School Facilities, it has to go to the Washoe County Debt Management Commission, it has to go back to the Board of Trustees, and then they can start issuing bonds. So it's a really rigorous process before they can be approved.
Senator Berrigan?
So I'm just wondering why, why you guys decided to go with a sales tax increase contrary to like a real estate transfer tax, because right now the real estate market, especially with all these brand new companies coming in, there's so much basically market transfer going on, or is the revenue not that much comparable to an increase in sales tax?
That's exactly right. So when the committee was looking at the unfunded need over the next 10 years, the only two options that really got us there were sales of property, and putting more eggs in the property basket just didn't make sense. So they decided to go with sales.
Senator Charles?
SOS Washoe, so we're pushing for the grocery receipts business license fee, or have those efforts kind of died down?
So last legislative session, the governor and legislature passed what's called the Commerce Tax, and that generated over the next 10 years, along with an extension of the sunsets on pre-existing taxes, generated $1.4 billion over the next 10 years. Those were all for operating programs, so Read by Three, investing money in English as a second language, investing money in special education programs. Those are operating expenses. We're just talking about capital. And so that effort's passed. There was a group that was trying to get a question on the ballot to repeal that tax. They were unsuccessful in their efforts. And so really, this is about the capital needs of our schools, and not one dime that was passed at the state level will go to fix that problem. Good question.
Senator Duvall.
If this is approved, when will we start to see the first schools being built and fixed?
So these projects are shovel ready to go in February. So the extension to Devani Ranch High School, if voters choose to pass WC1, they will break ground on that in February. they're ready to go. This oversight panel for school facilities is already looking at land that can be used to build the schools on. Looking at architects that can be used for cost efficiencies. So we're ready to go. We just need a yes vote for the number.
I don't know if you said this already, but when would the tax go in place?
So like the effective date of the increase? I actually don't know the specific answer to that question. If I had to venture to guess, and the answer is yes, it would probably be effective immediately upon passage and approval of voters. The county commission would have to canvass the votes essentially at their first meeting following the election, and then they would impose that sales and use tax. So there would be a couple of processes that would have to happen at the commission level, because as you saw the question, it said, should the county commission be authorized to impose the sales and use tax?
Awesome. Are there any further questions?
For
any
questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I'm Sam. You guys will hear from me later on. I'm the policy analysis applicant. I just have a question. So with sales taxes, Nevada right now has some of the highest sales taxes in the United States and some of the generally lower property taxes. And it's been shown through some studies that sales taxes are usually a lot more unstable than property taxes, and that sales taxes disproportionately affect low-income families compared to middle-class or higher-end families. And that 25 cent on a dollar you say or whatever might not seem by a lot, but if you're only making minimum wage or so, that's still a big chunk of it.
Sure.
Is there some sort of a study you guys made about how that won't negatively affect in low-income families on a large degree?
Well, that's actually a really good question. And the study that I cited on the impact of a family of four making a median income was less than a quarter a day. So logically, you would think that a family that's making less money and purchasing less goods that are captured by the sales tax, the impact would be even less. What I will say is that by its definition, a sales tax is a regressive tax. But as I referenced earlier, low-income families that might rely on older siblings to watch children that are in elementary school, when child care costs are just significantly more expensive than what this increase would be. And really, it's a sales tax is a shared responsibility. You know, for every, 30% is generated by people that visit us. Businesses pay it on the goods they purchase, so B2B, so business-to-business transactions are captured by the sales tax. And it also is captured by consumers. Now, what's great is that food and medicine are exempt from the sales tax. So really basic necessities that are required for sustenance and the health of families won't be captured by the sales tax. And property taxes are really unstable, particularly in Nevada, because of the structure of the statutory schemes. And so that's why the sales tax was selected, was to diversify the funding streams and really not put all of our eggs in one basket.
All right.
So,
thank you.
Thank you for your question.
Senator Kirby.
So it seemed like you were saying not putting all your eggs in one basket. Is there any intention in the future to, as well, if this does pass, to also raise property taxes?
So I know there are conversations amongst legislators right now to remove the cap that exists in statute to kind of ensure that property taxes are generating sufficient revenue again. As far as an increase in the property tax, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But, with that cap over the last decade, local Washington County alone, I think, lost $580 million in revenue. Next legislative session, I know that there are legislators taking a hard look at removing the cap, but getting 63 two-thirds of a legislature, because that would require two-thirds vote of the legislature, because it's affecting a tax. And so, after the commerce tax was passed in 2015, the idea of two-thirds of the legislature removing the cap on the property taxes in the following session, to me, seems like a political heavy lift, if you will. So I'm hopeful that they will, but really, this problem is so urgent that we have to act now.
Are there any further questions for Mr. Bybee? All right, thank you so much, Mr. Bybee. It was a great presentation. Are there any more people here for public comment?
I won't take quite as long as Alex did. I just have something really quick. The state first editor selection process is going to be on Friday, July 1st at 1 p.m., and I'm looking for two senators that wouldn't mind sitting on that committee.
It'll probably last between 1 and 2 hours.
Can you repeat the date again one more time?
Friday, July 1st at 1 p.m. I believe it's near Green Lake.
Alex Creepy, I've got one. I've got two. We're good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So in the efforts of time, because one of our applicants has to leave at 5:45, we're going to move right into motions to fast track. So agenda item 10. I'm seeking a motion to fast track the nominations. Senator Jackson?
I move to fast track the nominations of Cassandra Carrasco to the Office of Commissioner of Clubs and Organizations, Multicultural and Diversity, the nomination of Samuel Lair to be Policy Director of Department of Legislative Affairs, the nomination of Kyle Sharp to be Projects Director of the Department of Legislative Affairs, and the nomination of Maggie McLaughlin to be Assistant Director of Campus and Public Relations.
Is there a second? Senator Green?
I second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all of those in favor, please say aye by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving to agenda item 11A, nomination of Cassandra Caruso. So I'm seeking a motion to, or no, we'll just hear from her first. So Cassandra, if you want to go up and speak. You can actually sit right here.
Yeah.
My name is Cassandra Carrasco. I'm a psychology major with a minor in Spanish. Freshman year, I was involved in COSA, Latin dance, mariachi club, and yeah, that was it. And then this year, I was the president of the mariachi club. I was in Latin dance club, and I was the president and founder of the Polynesian dance club. And I want to be a part of the commission board, especially for multicultural diversity, because multicultural diversity in general is such a topic that I'm really passionate about. I want to be a commissioner specifically in general to build closer relationships and to have a closer liaison with the members, especially for my coalition in specific. As a member of so many different organizations on campus freshman year and sophomore year, I don't think or feel that I've gotten that much of a close of a relationship with my commissioner as I would have liked, correlating to help with like funding or help in general, knowledge of, you know, general information, or, you know, just like throwing in ideas of things that we wanted to do like as a group. And I feel like things would have gotten a lot smoother if I would have had that relationship as a member or as an officer. And I really feel like if that's something that we push this year, then all the organizations will really grow, whether it be like in numbers or how they feel in general. So something that we could probably do would be to make sure that we have the commissioners, although I know it's a lot of organizations for each coalition, have some type of check-in with their coalition groups that is not business-like, just to make sure that they're doing okay, if they have any questions and things like that. But to keep that consistent throughout the entire year and not just be at the beginning of the year and have it die out. Another thing that I would want to do as a commissioner for multicultural diversity would be to have the whole coalition as a whole, multicultural diversity, have maybe like an annual event or for each coalition as a whole to really get to know the other people in their coalition, because I feel like not a lot of them know that their coalition even exists. And I feel like if we have them, you know, get together, whether it be an event or some type of meeting, I feel like they would be able to come up and brainstorm with even further, you know, annual events that we could have, as opposed like to just having like one thing that is known for us, like Night of All Nations. That's the only thing I think that's really known for multicultural diversity that promotes, you know, all of our coalitions as a whole. And I feel like a lot of the times, if they do know someone in their coalition, it's more of in a competitive manner, but I feel like if we promote it the other way, then they'll really help build each other up instead of break each other down.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Senator Ward?
Being an officer in multiple of your clubs, do you have experience working with budgets?
Experience working with budgets? Yes. In funding different events and things like that. Not so often because of the clubs that I was a part of didn't really require that much, you know, funding. And for our events, it was kind of just like personal events and things like that we didn't require much funding for. But as a resident assistant, which I was a resident assistant last year for NIHAL, we did experience a lot of you know, different events and programming and workshops and symposiums and things like that did require funding, and I earned a lot of funding in that area.
Are there any further questions? Seeing none, thank you for presenting. If you could please sign this NRS form. We ask that you leave the room, although you do not have to, while we discuss your candidacy. It's completely up to you. Okay, I'm seeking a motion. Senator Jackson.
I move to approve the nomination of Cassandra Grasco to the Office of Commissioner of Clubs and Organizations, Multicultural and Diversity.
Is there a second? Senator Bradley?
Second.
Is there any discussion to the motion? Senator Bradley?
I thought our presentation was thorough, and one of the most thorough of the commissioners we've heard from to really emphasize what her coalition would be focusing on, and I thought that was, she had an idea, so she knew what she was doing when she came in here. I thought that was admirable.
Yeah, I'm young. The only thing is, I think we should make sure that she does have that vet with the multicultural system. Since we're going to hold people accountable all year, that's one thing we need to hold her accountable with. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Congratulations, you are now a club commissioner.
Okay, so please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, say your name.
I, Cassandra Kroska.
Do solemnly swear or affirm?
Do solemnly swear or affirm?
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter. Thanks so much.
If you can just sign those, that'd be great. All right, we're going to move back in the agenda now to reports of ASUN officers. So, President.
I have several of my executive reports. All right. So, in regards to packet and chip grant program, I texted the vice president of heat on this morning about setting up a meeting, and turns out he has been in Hawaii for the last 2 weeks, which is why he hasn't been returning my calls. So early next week, we should have a conversation about everything that's regarding PAC internship grant program, how the funding, how external funding is going for that, and see where we're at with that and see what the next steps are. For bike share, it's probably been the biggest headache for me recently, but there's a lot more to it than I ever anticipated. I met with the RTC today, the Regional Transportation Commission, and learned a lot more about the feasibility of bike share. I went in there expecting to learn just a few things about it, see what they had done, and they handed me this 90-page packet of a research study they had done about bringing bike share to Reno. So it's in the works for the entire city and the entire county as well, because they are including Sparks. But last meeting or a couple meetings ago, I mentioned that we'd probably be looking at a fall launch, which honestly, now that we're going bigger and not just focusing on campus, which is the right way of going about it, I honestly don't expect seeing bike share on this campus. I think my term is going to consist of a lot of groundwork for bike share. So don't expect to see some new bikes around campus this fall. But hopefully in 2 years, 3 years' time, you will be seeing bike racks around all of Reno. So with that, I also met with Michelle Horton this morning to discuss bike share on campus, and Parking and Transportation is in full support of it, which was great to hear. I also talked to them about Park Mobile and to see what they thought of it. Fortunately, they'd already looked into it. Turns out the contact that I have at Park Mobile is actually good friends with the director of Parking and Transportation, so we're going to see where that goes. They have some concerns about how it would potentially exclude visitors from our campus, so we're going to figure out how we can avoid that and make sure that our students are getting the convenience without potentially forcing visitors away from campus. I'm meeting with Jim Fitzsimmons tomorrow to discuss the design of Weekend, talk about the relationship agreement between Lombardi and Athletics, as well as propose putting the block in or some type of statue regarding Nevada in front of Weekend. Orientations have been going great so far. We have a few tweaks to make to the PowerPoint presentation and a little more details to add to the tour to make sure that we're keeping consistent with every group and not giving some certain groups certain information and different groups other information. But I appreciate everyone that's volunteered for that so far. And I want to thank Senator Hannah Jackson and Alex Bybee for working on this SOS Washo. Senator Hannah Jackson and I both sit on the SOS Washoe Commission, and we've been working on this for a while, so to see this resolution at the table tonight is a big one. It's probably the biggest piece of legislation you guys have had so far, because you are taking a stance on a very important subject that can affect the city of Reno for a long time. So I am interested to see how your dialogue goes with that. But that concludes my report, if you'd like me to read the rest. Vice President Springmeier, unfortunately I am sick and unable to attend tonight's meeting, but I just wanted to say thank you to all the senators who have been volunteering at orientation. Chief of Staff Atienza, nothing new to report. Director Rojas, resulting from the discussion about the Orlando shooting last week, I will be meeting with Ricky Salazar tomorrow to discuss creating an LGBTQ committee comprised of university officials and club presidents that represent the community. The main goal of the committee will be to determine how we can make our LGBTQ community feel more safe and open on campus. Director Lawton, I am brainstorming ideas to improve and expand the My University campaign. I am also working with KWYL-FM to get a promotional sponsorship for Biggest Little Festival. And Director Osmond, I am still writing those documents that were discussed in my last report, starting initial planning for Rock the Vote, as well as the voter registration drive. We are starting initial research on possible and probable legislation as well. That is all. Thank you, guys. If you have any questions.
Director Hurdle, if you would like to present.
Hi, everybody. So, first off, thank you to all the senators who helped out on Thursday at the barbecue. Wouldn't have without you guys. I was out of town. I heard some of you guys went kind of gross, so that's exciting. So, we've been working on BLF. Currently, it's still just a lot of waiting, talking to artists. Let's see what else. Oh, so one of my programmers is currently in contact with the director of Sculpture Fest to see what kind of art they can bring for the festival. Keep an eye out in the next couple of weeks for the homecoming theme. Probably exactly 2 weeks from now, you guys all know what it is, and the homecoming packet will be coming out after that. Welcome Week, we're having a meeting next Wednesday to approve funding for those events. It's going to go from that Sunday to that Thursday, since there is a football game that first Friday, which includes moving back the club fair a day, so the Friday Fest and the Thursday Fest. Other than that, not a lot going on. And, oh, we'll have another barbecue, our last week of the summer, about a month from now. I want to say it's Thursday, July 26th, but I will get back to you all with that date if you guys want to help out.
Awesome. Are there any questions for Director Hurdle? All right, thank you. Director Long.
Hey, everyone. first, I just wanted to start off by saying thank you for making my commission complete now. It's been kind of a long process, and without having the full commission, it's been hard to get things rolling, but now we can really start doing that, getting the planning phases continued and really rolling for Thursday Fest, Club Fair, as well as the iLead conference, which is going to be big, and we're going to see a lot of changes with that this year. You'll be hearing a lot more about that down the road, but I would love to see some of your guys' faces there for that one. If you wanted to put it in your calendars, it's scheduled for Sunday the 18th of September, just so that that's on your radar. And then I'm still obviously working on the planning stages that I've been working on for the past few weeks that you guys know of. And the most recent update from the department is that we did a two-day training with all of the commissioners, Friday and Monday of this week. And that went really, really well. In the past, we haven't done a very formal employee training for the department, and they learned everything about ASUN from the ground up, where we started, where we are now, and then everything from the department as well. So they're pretty well informed this year. Yeah.
Are there any questions for Derek Long? Awesome, thank you. Chief Justice Sam Ricketta. Do you have to be going Samuel or Sam?
Sam.
Yeah.
Thanks. Not much to report. We just had some interviews for the Associate Justice position, so hopefully we'll be submitting those nominations by July 1. That's the goal. And then if you have any questions or concerns, feel free to talk to me or Attorney General Medford. Any questions?
I did you, Mr. Burkett. Speaker Pro Tem Hannah Jackson.
No update today.
Speaker of the Senate, Dr. Sarah. So there's been a lot of confusion with the business cards, but they will be done soon. And we also just got an email today regarding the pillows, and they're finishing up a mock picture for us. So I'm pretty excited about that. They said that they'll be in pretty soon after the mock-ups, too. So expect those to be here pretty soon. Moving into agenda item 9, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements this time? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 11B, nomination of Samuel Laird to be policy director for the Department of Legislative Affairs. So, Sam, if you would like to come up here and present, I'm going to give you 3 minutes to do your presentation.
I'll keep it not short. You guys kind of heard from me earlier. My name is Sam Laird. I'm a sophomore this year at the University of Nevada, Reno. I am dual majoring in political science and philosophy, ELP. I was born and raised here in Reno, Nevada. I went to Spanish Springs, and I really care about the school in this area. My plans for this year is I talked with Michael for a little bit, and I had some initial plans, but after speaking to Michael during my interview, my main focus with Michael is going to be improving the efficiency of the Legislative Affairs Office. Right now, I think there's a lot of transiency over the years between people, new directors going in and out, and that creates a lot of confusion. A lot of how things are done, how policies are looked at, records, they're not kept in the most efficient way. So my goal is to work with Michael in order to get a better record of everything that's done. There should be a record for every policy that the Legislative Affairs has looked at for UNR back to 2000, but that doesn't exist right now. So I want to get that done. As well, I want to create a SOP, or a standard operating procedure, for how policies should be looked at. And it's not going to be a hard rule, like this is how everything should be done, but a good standard of recommendations of how to make the job easier, and how to make it easier so once I leave, the next person comes in, and they can do the job flawlessly with as little training as possible, since it's right there as well. Another big thing, I'm a member of a club here on the university, and a big part of that I care about, the big passion of mine, is voter registration and getting people more civically active. So I also wanted, although it's not necessarily my job, I also wanted to work with Kyle Sharp as best as I could to make it so UNR can become a bastion for civics and a bastion for motivated college students who want to get involved in government, want to get involved in their community, and are really care about just being a part of society. Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to start with a couple questions. First off, what club are you in on campus?
I'm vice president of the College Republicans right now.
Awesome. And then I worked in the Legislative Affairs Department. department last year, actually in the position underneath you. And we always were wondering what the future of legislative affairs was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a definite future of what you think the department's going to be doing in the coming years?
Definitely. Like I said earlier, we want to try to get our efficiency up as well. Talking with Michael, we want to be able to make it so the legislative affairs creates a better civic atmosphere for the university, getting people more involved, maybe getting people, local politicians coming in to come talk political science classes and stuff like that, and just making it so the university has a better atmosphere, and for as a whole, the legislative affairs is as effective and less of a burden on ACM as much as possible.
And do you have any experience lobbying at the state level?
I do not. However, I have been in Reno, Nevada my entire life. I've done work in politics. I've done as president or vice president of the College of Republicans. I know a lot of the state senators. I talk to them. I go to the forums. And so I have a lot of personal relationships within the political community. And as well, in high school, I was a battalion commander of my JRTC, and I was also a member of leadership. So a lot of times I spent a lot of my time speaking, spent a lot of time creating speeches, and when I was a junior, I was a company commander in charge of 60 or so kids, and every day I had to walk up and give an address to them, tell them what we're doing, what the plan is, et cetera, et cetera. So although I don't have specific experience with lobbying per se, I'm very comfortable speaking, I'm very comfortable approaching people, and I think I still have the necessary skills in order to learn effectively how to lobby.
Are there any further questions for the candidate? All right, thank you so much. We asked you to leave the room, although you do not have to.
Thank you.
So I'm seeking a motion to approve. Senator Bradley.
I move to approve the nomination of Kyle Sharp, Samuel Lair, to the policy director for the Department of Legislative Affairs.
Is there a second?
Senator Charles.
I second.
Okay, moving into discussion. Discussion on the candidate. Senator DeVol.
I felt that when he was actually participating in our discussion, just from the public comment section, it really speaks to his character that he's ready to get in with our work.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Seeing none, moving to vote. All those in favor, please raise their hand by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Candidate is approved. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter. Thank you.
Sweet. All right, we're going to move into the nomination of Kyle Sharp. Kyle, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, Kyle, I'm going to give you 3 minutes to present.
You guys all hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, how's everybody doing? My name is Kyle Sharp. I'm from Reno, Nevada, born and raised. I went to Reno High. I've been going here for 2 years now. I'm a junior.
Yeah, I totally understand, Kyle. Are there any questions for the candidate? Senator Charles.
Hi, Kyle.
Given that ASUN officials are public leaders, how do you plan to act as the face of inclusion and diversity at the university?
How do I plan to act as the face of institutional diversity?
Well, as ASUN leaders, we are representing diversity and inclusion with all populations across the university, including special needs students. So how do you plan on representing them appropriately?
As president of the Democrats, I think I've already done that. We represent diversity. We represent, part of our constitution says that we represent all kinds of people, all groups of people. I want to be able to be a face of this university to all people. I don't discriminate at all. I know I've said things before that I've regret. You guys all know what I'm referring to. But that's in no way a representation of me or who I am. I've done a lot of great things in this campus. I've been a great representation of the Democratic Party on this campus. I want to make sure that everybody is included on this campus. That's why I want to be a part of the legislative affairs.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Thank you. Kyle, you could. Senator Jordan, do you have a question?
I just have one. As for the description of what you're being appointed for, do you have any experience with programming events?
With what?
With programming events.
Yes. With both the Young Democrats and the CMM, I've worked at many events. I've helped participants in the CMM where I've coordinated events with the alumni, where I've had to coordinate events with 100 alumni, find ways to get as many alumni to the house as possible, get food for all the people, raise funds, trust donations, try to get as many people to give donations to the house. For Young Democrats, I've hosted over 10 events where I've brought in politicians, I've brought in people with the holding phase. I've run in, I started something called Wolfpack Smart Talks, where I've run in professors and professionals from around the city to speak to students on issues. I have a lot of experience in planning events and coordinating things like that.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Seeing none, I guess you could turn down the volume on your phone. But
how long do you think?
No, honestly, you can stay. We just ask that you leave the room, so it's really up to you.
If I walk 5 feet away, there's no way I can hear you.
All right, that's fine. I'm seeking motion to approve. Senator Berrigan.
I move to approve Samuel Ware to the position of
Kyle Sharp. I'm so sorry.
I'm seeking a motion to approve. Senator Keating.
I move to approve the nomination of Kyle Sharp to be the project director for the Department of Legislative Affairs.
Senator Berrigan.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the candidate? Senator Kruby?
Yeah, out of the loop. What are you talking about? Through the speaker to Senator Charles. Your question seems specifically targeted. Why?
During an all-group event, he had made slanderous remarks about special needs population.
Is there any further, Senator Berrigan?
I think, his experience in planning events with Sigma Nu and the Young Democrats is going to be a true asset to basically throwing events, and I think he'll be a good addition. That's just my personal opinion.
Senator Charles, I'll take your comment as long as it's germane to the candidate's resume and or qualifications. So, Senator Charles.
I kind of thought that his execution has been ill-prepared, so while I didn't feel that he adequately answered my question, just knowing Wolfpack Smart Talks, I was really excited about them when they originally started, and they kind of died off, so I don't really know how much I trust the big initiative that some of the policies and his programs may need that he hasn't seemed to have offered in the past.
Senator H. Jackson.
I think that throughout his position with the Young Dems, I think he did a great job in partnering with the College Republicans, which he did a great event planning through that, and I think that that would be really great for this position. I don't know. I think he's someone that can really partner with different political perspectives, and he's also really great at bringing in community members and just getting other students involved, so I think he would be a great person for this position.
Senator Jordan.
As far as speaking of successive programs is concerned, I would like to highlight his ambition just for all the stuff that he wanted to do, bringing in Wolfpack to Mark Dogs. I think that successive programs relies heavily on support networks and not, you know, downgrading any specific club by itself, but ASUN as an institution is a huge support network, so whatever programs he puts forward, I think it's going to get a lot of support and we're going to see a lot of success because of what's going to be able to gather from that.
Is there any further discussion about the candidate? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Senator Charles is in opposition. Abstentions? Seeing none, the candidate is approved to the position. Kyle, can you hear me?
Yeah, I
can. Yeah, congratulations, you are approved. I'm going to send over the oath of office, and then you just send back a digital signature saying you are going to sign it, and then you'll be in office. So thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, we're now moving into agenda item 16, motions to fast track. Yeah, you're good to go. You can hang up.
All right, thank you.
Moving to agenda item 16, motions to fast-track legislation. I'm seeking a motion to fast-track all legislation besides 16-2. One sec.
No, why aren't we?
Which one?
Well, I guess it would be 1 and 2.
Okay, so I'm seeking a motion to fast track 3, 4, 5. Senator Jordan.
I move to fast track legislation 16-3 through 5.
Is there a second? Senator Bradley.
Second.
Awesome. Is there any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving into agenda item 16-3. An act to amend the duties of the club commission. So I believe, Senator Jordan, this is your bill. If you would like to introduce it.
So I met with Assistant Director Speedy as well as Director Wong discussing how clubs are approved during the summer or just the club approval process in general. So right now how it stands, they have to be approved by the commission, but in practice, usually all the stuff is done by professional staff anyway. And so we have a few clubs waiting for approval in the summer months right now, and they haven't been approved because, you know, as we see, the commission hasn't even been fully assembled until today. So it's more of just a formality at this point, moving the duties of club approval to full-time professional staff and just cutting the commission out of it. Because that's basically how it stands already.
Okay, I'm seeking motion to approve. Senator Bradley.
I move to approve Senate Bill 84, an act to amend the duties of the club commission.
Is there a second? Senator Charles?
Aye, second.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Durbin.
I'm just basically ask, this is a question, I guess, either to Director Long or Senator Jordan. So what say would you guys have after this in code approval? Is this just only for the summer to let post-staff handle it, or would it just be ultimately at their discretion?
Director Long.
Yeah, so that's going to be, to answer your question, it'll be
recognition will go through PROSAP the entire time. Now, the way it stands, Senator Jordan was saying, most of the processes, the hoops that the clubs have to jump through in order to be recognized, go through PROSAP already. The only thing that they deal with us is direct vote on recognition. So they would have to come into our meeting and then speak to us, and we would take a vote similar to the way you do here, like on approval and stuff like that. However, their PROSAP is already doing, more than 3/4 of the job, and so what we would end up doing is putting their club count on hold for a set amount of time after they're approved by the PROSAP until they come in and see us within, say, a month or something like that, and then, talk to us about who they are so that the club commission is completely eliminated from the whole stance on the argument, and then we'll release their funds. They'll be active.
Okay. Senator, Speaker Pro Tem Jackson.
Yes, I am in total support of the idea of this. I just would have liked more clarification in the bill as to, because from my perception for reading it at first and after asking questions, I kind of got the gist of it, but I thought that we were giving duties to the professional staff that didn't already have. So could I move to amend line 3 to state, whereas the professional staff already ensures that all clubs follow the stipulations outlined in SAS Chapter 202, Section 8.
Is there a second to the amendment? Senator Jordan?
Second.
Is there any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, moving to a vote. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Oh. Amendment carries. Now back into discussion on the bill as a whole. Senator Charles.
I'm a little weary on the second line, whereas to make the process of club recognition more streamlined. The first time I read through this legislation as well, I didn't really know what we were saying by streamlined, because we do already know that it goes through professional staff. So maybe we should be a little bit more careful in the wording there and say exactly what we want to do with those applicants for those clubs. So to make the process of club recognition more straightforward pertaining to the professional staff. I just think it needs a rewording.
Speaker Brett Jackson.
Well, I think by streamlined, because during the summer, since all the club commissioners are gone, that these people who want club recognition are put on hold for a certain amount of time just because the club commissioners aren't there. But the professional staff is already doing the approval of the Constitution.
Associate Director B.
I think streamlined would work as the definition is increasing speed and ease of movement.
Okay. Is there any further, Senator?
Yeah, just for more clarification on that, honestly, having gone through the club creation process, it's something that you just check off boxes. You just do these very simple things. Professional staff says, okay, you did these 3 things you need to do, you're good. So it's just a delay to have them go through the commission. And the streamlining is literally just skipping that stuff. Because the stuff you're doing isn't an opinion of whether or not you did it correctly, it's did you do it or not. This is just making clubs get recognized faster so they could actually apply for things like summer funding if they miss the renewal date of May 1st and they have to resubmit their club. It would make that faster. It would also make being able to do funding later easier. They still wouldn't be able to get summer funding, correct?
President,
they still have to go to the commission.
President Boone.
For as far as funding is concerned?
Yeah. Because you said they're
in the instance that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the funding they're still going to have to get through us. This is just simply a recognition issue. And I think I mentioned it in the past. I don't think that I've sat on the commission over the last 2 years and seen a club be denied. So it's kind of just removing the commission part from it, just making it easier.
Just want to also note, this doesn't directly pertain just to summer, just because the commission doesn't have a commission for about 6 months. It also relates throughout the entire year, so if clubs are up for approval on the agenda and somehow quorum doesn't get met, they have to wait for the commission also, so we're just avoiding that nightmare too. So this is a whole year thing, it's not just because of the summer. That's just more information for you to base your decision off of.
Is there any associate?
Yeah.
want to be men's soccer, but that is one of the conditions that clubs can't be exactly the same, then the professional staff would likely have set a rule for that as well.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Bill.
I can vote for him, though.
Yeah. Bill carries. Moving into agenda item 18.4, an act to recognize the club department procedure manual in the SAS. So this is also Senator Jordan's bill, but I believe it's pretty much just putting it in the SAS, right?
Yeah. It was, when we were talking about it, we were just looking through the different chapters, and the next chapter, 203, we saw that event programming, their procedures manual was recognized, so, and we saw that the club organization procedures manual was recognized, so we just put that in.
Alright, I'm seeking a motion to approve. Senator Jackson.
I move to approve Senate Bill 84, an act to recognize the Club Department Procedure Manual in the SAS.
Is there a second? Senator Berrigan?
Second.
Is there any discussion on it? Senator Kirby?
This is just a general thing, and it might just be me, but for future reference for all senators, in bills, if you're referencing the SAS for anything to be taken out or changed, when you reference the SAS, if you could just put the blurb in. It's just to make it easier, especially for public, to know what it says. It just makes it more clear. Clarity is always good in legislation, so that someone doesn't try to weasel their way around it.
Speaker President Jackson.
Through the speaker to Senator Krupe, if it's a whole section, do you still want us to put in that in there, like if it's long?
Senator Krupe.
My personal feelings on that would be yes. That is very much a personal decision when you're writing your own legislation. It just makes things really clear, and it's on a computer. It's copy-paste. You're not retyping it. So in my personal opinion, not necessarily professional opinion, because I would know, not really, you don't need to. My personal opinion is only yes, because it adds clarity, and it's something that takes 3 seconds.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, moving to a vote. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Bill carries. Moving into agenda item 18.5, a resolution in support of Washoe County question one. So this is the resolution that we talked about at the beginning of the meeting that Mr. Bybee presented to us. I would like everyone to have a take on this. I know if you're from the Reno area, you definitely know that schools in this area are struggling with portable classrooms and other things like that. So I'll let Hannah Jackson.
Yeah, and Alex touched on a lot of the things that I was going to touch on. He explained it wonderfully, but from a university standpoint, I think this is also very important. He talked about how making sure people are college ready, they're getting a sufficient education, like within the Washoe County schools. A big percentage of students that are in our schools come to this university, so it's really important that they're coming ready. And as a senator of the College of Education, this is very important to my college as well, because within our college, we're teaching the future educators that are going to be teaching in those schools, and we need proper infrastructure, which would require capital funding. I've also talked to a lot of stakeholders. The College of Education is on board. President Mark Johnson's on board. So if you guys have any other questions or discussion.
So I'm seeking a motion. Senator Bradley.
I move to approve Senate Resolution 84 in support of the Washoe County Question 1.
Is there a second? Senator Jordan.
Second.
Discussion on SOS Washoe. Senator Jordan.
As a member or a representative for the Division of Health Sciences, I think it's a really good public health move in the sense of specifically mental health. With the addition of more schools, students are going to be more spread out. There's going to be less class size and stuff. So with overcrowding comes increased stress, all the different brain chemicals. It's not only going to mess with their academic performance, but private lives as well. So the less stress that we can give on a student, the better citizens are going to become.
Senator Bradley.
Speaking on behalf of Kavner,
We talk about asbestos all the time in our classes and how detrimental it can be to your health. And I agree with Senator Jordan about the mental capacity and health of our students as well. But the asbestos problem is a problem that needs to be addressed like yesterday. And this is a really great way that they've taken a lot of time to go through and make sure that our students in the Washoe County can actually have a fighting chance, I guess, in an educational setting.
Senator Charles.
Just coming from a total educational back position, this is super important that we start, because while we've already made initiatives to start funding for different programs and different things within the public school districts, if we don't have a capital account, if we're not consistently making amends to fix the different situations students are studying in, then it doesn't even matter. So this is an important leap that we take, and as a tier one institution, we need to be in support of this.
Senator Berrigan.
Although I'm not personally always in favor for increased taxes, I believe that if we had to increase taxes for one thing, this is one of those things that it should be, taxes should be increased for. I mean, I personally have never ventured to any Reno high schools or middle schools, but basically from the conditions listed in throughout by these presentation, it just seemed like really ridiculous that this was even going on in the first place, that this is like still, like, it's just something that should have been taken care of a long time ago. So I really hope that this does end up passing in November.
From my own like personal standpoint, and I know Senator Jackson, Speaker Pro Tem Jackson, for sure went to school at Reno High, but there's a lot of high schools in the area besides about Spanish Springs, North Valleys, and Damani that are old high schools. It, like he discussed in his presentation, the Columbine locks are huge. We're seeing the discussion on guns now, and I mean just the Columbine locks alone would protect students. So I think this is kind of a no-brainer. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Resolution carries. Moving into agenda item 20, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Senator Green?
This 26, me and Senator Ball and a couple other people around the community will be and since Speaker Texera will be volunteering at Hikes for Hounds, so I hope more people will sign up. I put the doodle poll on the Senate page, so I hope to see you guys there.
Any other comments or announcements? All right, yeah, I have one. I'm volunteering with Senator Green and Senator Duvall this weekend. There's also another volunteer opportunity on, because this one's on Saturday. Yours is on Saturday. Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah. So there's also another one on Saturday. If you guys want to volunteer for, I forgot the exact thing, but if you guys want to volunteer on Saturday, talk to me after the meeting and I can say you guys did something. Moving into agenda item 21, public comment. Is there any public comment this time? President Poop.
No, sorry, I was
not. Oh, okay. I have one thing. When we are putting something through for a fast track, and we're putting like five bills through, I know Senator Krupe speaks on this too, you have to read the whole bill. It's just more efficient and it's like better, just better. It's way more professional. And then also when, like you saw today, Senator Speaker Pro Tem Jackson and Senator Krupe talking, they were going through the speaker. That is also a really good thing that we should start doing instead of just like talking to people in the audience or talking to other senators. Is there any more public comment on that, Senator?
Sure, I'll kind of just touch on that a little bit as well. A lot of these things, some of you might, like I might just text you personally after a Senate meeting just to let you know. There, a lot of things that we're still learning as a group aren't necessarily things that need to be on record so that the secretary need to type it out and everything. They're just little things about how you conduct yourself and what we're doing. Again, the sort of thing with including sections of the SAS and legislation. Yes, it's another step. But as technical, we are technically public officials, and as such, we need to make sure that we're not being lazy or cutting any corners. It is tedious to state every single bill. It is tedious to add something from the SAS into your legislation. But doing those tedious things are what keeps us in the upper echelon of student governments. And once we start slacking on those things, we become like a lot of other student governments at other universities that are much less respected and aren't held to as high of a regard. Though the ASUN as a whole may not be viewed positively by all students, whether it's a disgruntled president because they didn't get funding or whatever it is, and they just take that out on all of ASUN, we as public officials need to be sure that we're going out of our way to put our best foot forward and make sure that we're representing ASUN the most professionally possible. With that, I think we're all doing very well with that, and people who have already submitted legislation, thank you, and they were good. It's just the little things that we need to keep working on, but we have a whole year to work on.
Is there any more public comment? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned at 6:28.